on, Bob.
I hope you have a happy new year.
Well, it's another year. I hope it's not as crazy as 2020, that's for sure. It's kind of nice up here in Ohio. We had freezing rain yesterday. Then we had 42 degrees last night, and now we're back to 34. It's been really bizarre. How about down there in Tennessee?
Yeah, well, we had a snow last week, about 6 inches here where I'm at. And then it warmed up a little bit, and it kind of went away in a few days. And then we had a whole bunch of rain come in, about 2 inches or more. And then it's sort of been in probably the 50s. Been in the, probably the low 50s here the last few days. But anyway, there was a lot of trees down, and it was a heavy, heavy snow there. It knocked a lot of pine trees down.
Oh, that's kind of yucky. But I'm assuming in the area that you're at, I'm looking for my paperwork that I had here earlier, and I can't find it. I'm assuming where you're at, everything is okay?
Yep. Yeah, we got the power still on. Pretty good shape there. Can't complain.
Well, that is good. I'm wandering around. Oh, I left it on the table. Alrighty, let me take my headphones off and I'll be right back. I'm going to check and see if we get any other early check-ins, Mr. Larry. So, CQ, this is KAJOI for the real Liberty Net. If you are listening, please come now.
Kilo Charlie 3, Delta Delta Bravo.
Kilo Charlie 3, Delta Delta Bravo.
Roger.
A booming signal in here to Ohio tonight, so welcome. Thank you for checking in.
Yeah, I've checked in before, once or twice before. Just figured I'd listen in again.
Well, appreciate it, Gary. Thank you for stopping by. I'll put you on the list. You can add to it or pass whichever you'd like, sir.
Okay, very good. I was just curious how you run this net. I mean, is it everyone? I've run it once before, and I think everyone took their turn and commented and then went back around the table.
Roger, roger. I'm using NetLogger, so kind of keep a list of everybody that's in. And then we have round one, and then we go through the list again for round two. And then if there's no late check-ins, we have a 73 round for closing thoughts.
Okay, very good. I'm going to open up NetLogger.
All righty. Well, it's under the real Liberty Net, so I've got you on the list. Thank you for checking in.
KO4FE.
KO4FE. Good evening, William. What a booming signal tonight.
Yeah, conditions are pretty good. You're about 40 over here, and the noise is down. It's good wintertime propagation, over.
Well, it's about time, because, boy, over the last couple of weeks, it has been poor, but I've got you almost 40 over.
Yeah, Roger, it's been terrible. I've gotten on there a couple nights, and, hell, I couldn't hear anybody. So I'm glad conditions are changed around. All right, Bob, I'll let you get back to taking check-ins. This is KO4FE.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. CQ, this is KAJOI looking for check-ins for the real Liberty Net.
Kilo Echo Zero, Victor Romeo Tango.
I only got as far as the Kilo Echo Zero. What's the rest again?
Victoria Radio Tango. Victor Radio Tango.
KE0VRT. Let me see, did I not just get done? Nope. I just was looking at some of my papers. So welcome. I have you checked in. I will put you down on the list. You'll be number four.
Thank you very much.
WB9RWY.
I heard the W call, but it was really kind of faint in the background.
WB9RWY, Whiskey Baker 9, Radio Whiskey Yankee.
I know it's Whiskey Delta 9. I'm really struggling to pull it out, so let me finish it up. Whiskey Delta 9.
Negative, Baker 9er. W Baker 9, Radio Whiskey Yankee. This is Jim up in Iron River, over.
I believe it's RWY.
WB9RWY.
Is that Roger, Roger?
Roger, Roger.
That's it.
Alrighty, let me put that into the netlogger.
Where are you located, sir?
Iron River, Wisconsin, up in northern Wisconsin. Checked in before and checking in early today. Thank you.
He's in Wisconsin. What's your name?
His name is Jim, Jupiter, India, Mexico. Jim Holder.
Name is Jim.
In Iron River, Wisconsin. A little noisy, but now I have you there, James. Let me kick this off. Let me look for a couple more check-ins. So CQCQ, this is K-A-H-J-O-Y, looking for check-ins for the Saturday Night Liberty Net, the real Liberty Net. Over.
K-A-H-J-O-Y, KZ0-RSA, I'll be all ears, over.
Nice to hear you, Bo. We're not going to let you get away with that. We're still going to stop by and say hi to you each time, okay?
Roger, roger.
Good to hear from you. You're doing pretty good in here to Ohio from Nebraska.
You're coming in here about 15 over 7.
Well, I'll take that. That sounds good. Noise sounded like the Jesse. Is that you, Mr. Jesse? Well, let me open the door. So good evening to all participants on this 75 meter Liberty Net tonight. This is a directed net, and I believe it's the longest running and only current events discussion net on amateur radio now. And since the year of 1974, founded by Mr. Victor, W1 WCR. This is the Arium Net, not the Pyrite Net. Current events and amateur radio topics are welcome tonight on the real and the great Liberty Net. With that being said, let me open by the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. With that being said, let me see if I have any more check-ins, and we'll get started. CQCQ, this is K-A-H-J-O-Y. Nothing heard, so I'm going to start out with a short one. It is from the Blaze. So here we are. We're going to do vaccinations. And according to a report from CBS News, 42 people who believe they were being administered a dose of the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine were in fact given a different type of shot. The shot in question was reportedly administered by the West Virginia National Guard, which was working with Boone County, West Virginia Health Department, to host a clinic where the vaccine was being administered to priority patients. The West Virginia National Guard states that they believe there is no risk and harm to the individuals who received the incorrect shot. and what they received was a shot from, I'm trying to read it, it kind of cut it off at the top, but it's a medication for if you were had COVID-19, so it's the medication to treat you. They received the incorrect shot, and they were in the process of contacting everyone who received the wrong shot to notify them what had occurred so they could return for the correct shot. The moment that we were notified of what happened, we acted right away to correct it, and we immediately reviewed and strengthened our protocols to enhance our distribution process to prevent this from happening again, said Major General James Hoyer, Adjutant General for the West Virginia National Guard. So, the Modine vaccine requires two doses 28 days apart, followed by a waiting period. And the drug that was administered was the Regeneron, which was administered to President Trump when he contracted the actual disease. So, right off the gate, we have problems. Kind of interesting. So, with that being said, let me step up to N4ROQ. Mr. Larry, it is your turn, sir. What say you?
Okay, Bob. Sounding good down here. All right, let's see. New Hampshire Governor Council's inaugural, citing mass protest at his home. I noticed that McConnell and maybe Pelosi got hit too on their house there, had some damage, some signs, different things written on their house. So people's finding out where these people are living, and they're working over their doors and all at this time. New Hampshire governor cancels inaugural citing mass protest at his home. New Hampshire's Republican governor said Wednesday he is canceling his outdoor inauguration ceremony next week because of public safety concerns, namely armed protesters who have been gathering outside his home in the week since he issued a mask order. My first responsibility is ensuring the safety of my family and our citizens, Governor Chris Sununu said in a news release. An outdoor public ceremony simply brings too much risk. We do not make this decision lightly, but it is the right thing to do. So a lot of people are going against this mask that all these governors are putting out there, that you have to wear a mask no matter where you go anywhere anymore. So we'll see how all that goes. Canada is going to require negative tests for people entering the country. The Canadian government said Wednesday that passengers must have a negative COVID-19 test taken within 3 days before they arrive in the country. Intergovernmental Affairs Minister Dominique LeBlanc said the measure will be implemented within days. Canada already requires those entering the country to self-isolate for 14 days, and it has already banned all flights from the United Kingdom. On Tuesday, the Premier of Canada's largest province said he has ordered his finance minister to end a Caribbean vacation. Okay, in Moscow, a well-preserved Ice Age woolly rhino. A woolly rhino is recovered in Siberia. A well-preserved Ice Age woolly rhino with many of its internal organs still intact has been recovered from permafrost in Russia's extreme north. Russia media reported Wednesday that the carcass was revealed by melting permafrost in Yakutia, that's Yakutia, in August. Scientists are waiting for ice roads in the Arctic region to become passable to deliver it to a lab for studies next month. The carcass has most of its soft tissue still intact, including part of the intestines, thick hair, and a lump of fat. Its horn was found next to it. So if I'm not wrong on this, they probably get the DNA there and probably grow some more of these big boogers. All right, let's see what we got here. What else do clouds we got coming up. Here's an article regarding, I says, from USA Today, Hawley, H-A-W-L-E-Y, to object to Biden's victory. This comes from USA Today. Senator Josh Hawley, a Missouri Republican, said he will object to the Electoral College results next week when Congress meets to officially certify President-elect Joe Biden's win over President Donald Trump, ensuring a doomed but dramatic congressional fight to overturn Biden's win. Hawley, a Trump ally, is the first senator to announce he will back the effort on January the 6th, meaning both chambers will debate and be forced to vote on whether to overturn Biden's election victory. A faction of conservative House Republicans led by Mo Brooks, Republican of Alabama, said they will object to electoral votes from some battleground states that Biden won, such as Pennsylvania and Georgia. Biden won the December 14th Electoral College vote 306 to 232. Of course, I think the steal is in place. I cannot vote to certify the Electoral College results on January the 6th without raising the fact that some states, particularly Pennsylvania, failed to follow their own state election laws, Hawley wrote. And I cannot vote to certify without pointing out the unprecedented effort of mega corporations to interfere in this election in support of Joe Biden. Hawley is regarding as a possible 2024 presidential candidate. So there's one Republican that's objecting to it in the paper here, and we'll see how all that goes. We'll stop it right there. It sounds like we got several people checked in, and we'll move it back to you there, Bob, K-A-H-J-O-I, from N4ROQ, Larry in Tennessee. Back to Ned.
Thank you, Larry, N4ROQ, K-H-O-I. I just want to comment on something you said. So this big mammal was found when the permafrost melted. So that really, I'm not a scientist, but that really proves that there is a cycle of hot and cold. So that mammal was walking on his all fours and then apparently died, or the cold took his life, and then he was kind of encased in frozen ice or frozen permafrost. Then the area is getting warmer again, and it's thawing, and lo and behold, there's this big creature. And the cycle will continue. It'll get cold again, and other animals will be frozen way after you and I are gone. But if the cycle continues, don't you agree, over?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. That's correct. I believe you're right.
And we're supposed to believe that mankind is ruining the Earth. We're not ruining the Earth. The Earth has been around a long time, and definitely we're not ruining it. So, all righty, with that being said, KC3, DDB, Mr. Gary, this is KHLY. What say you?
I have a few comments. One is the mask mandate. I've not worn a mask yet. I've been thrown out of places. I don't care. I'm standing up for the truth, because I believe a lot of this is just a lie, and I won't be a part of it. I think it's going to take people to stand up and just say no. As long as we comply, they'll keep pushing. That's one issue. Another issue I'd like to throw out on the table is, I think a lot of times we get stuck in this right-left paradigm of Republican-Democrat. Look, they're both wings of the same bird, and we got to realize this is not a political war, it's a spiritual war, and these things we're fighting are spiritual. All this evil stuff that's going on in this country, and behind the scenes, that's not seen, with like Hunter Biden and children and all the different crap that they've been doing, it needs to stop. And it's a spiritual war. It's all spiritual. It's not political. We see the politics on the top, that's the flesh, but the underneath is the spiritual part of it. So that's a couple comments. I don't want to go long-winded here, but on it, but that's what how I see it. Now I'd like to just throw that on the table. Over.
Well, thank you. I agree with the spiritual part. It is, there are the both sides, the Democrat and Republican, but they really are trying to take, look at how much they take the word God out of the, next thing they're going to try to take it off our money, but that is true. And I got to say about the mask thing, I'll throw something really quick. So I had to go to the Aquagenal Medical Center, which is part of the Cleveland Clinic, all these big signs about you must wear a mask. So I wore my little mask. They take my temperature, and then the girl says, oh, you got to wear our mask. So I picked up the box of disposable masks, and what's it say on the bottom? Made in China. And I told the young lady, the nurse, I said, you expect me to wear a mask from the same fine people that brought me Kung Flu? No, I'm not wearing your mask. I'm wearing a mask. If you don't want to let me in the hospital for my doctor's appointment, you call up the doctor's office, tell them I won't be there, but don't you dare to charge me the copay because you're keeping me from coming in here because I'm doing what you want. But that's not good enough. They want even more out of it. Well, they let me in, but the mask thing, most of the places, I got to tell you, Gary, I don't wear it, and I smile and politely tell them to call the police. Over.
Totally agree.
All righty. Well, thank you for your comments. KC3DDB. It's an easy one to say. I like that. I'm KHOY. How about Mr. William? KO4FE. KAHJOY.
Okay, KAHJOY, the Real Liberty Net from KO4FE. Okay, Bob. Well, you know, if there's one thing you never want to do, and that's let the leftists get control of your government, because that is a total nightmare for any normal person. And listen to this bill. Seattle bill could legalize crime for those in poverty or with behavioral issues. This is off Zero Hedge. In what can only be described as turning morality on its head, a Seattle council member has introduced legislation that would allow courts to dismiss misdemeanor crimes such as theft and assault that were committed because of poverty or while a person was experiencing symptoms of mental illness or substance abuse, reports the Seattle Times. So, if you're a drug addict, you can basically get away with theft and assault, and they're not even going to bother you. And although this is proposed legislation, we hear these stories and we think, oh, that's so ridiculous, they'll never put it in. And then you turn around and these leftist cities vote the thing in unanimously. So we'll see what happens, but I wouldn't be surprised if it gets to be law in Seattle. Anyway, continuing, it says, introduced by City Council member Lisa Herbold in late October, the legislation is a continuation of the city's woke social justice efforts in the wake of the George Floyd police encounter. With the bill crafted under the label Poverty Defense, its defenders say it aims to ease the burden of usual court rulings on lower-income residents, but as some worried, it will pave the way for crimes like assault, harassment, communicating with a minor for immoral purposes, and more to go unpunished. Oh, do you think it will? I mean, if they make it legal to do these things, does anybody think that these lowlifes won't be doing more of it? Well, anyway, Herbold, the person who is introducing this legislation, says, I think when you're talking about folks who are committing offenses to survive, how is committing an assault have anything to do with surviving? Or because of underlying mental health or substance abuse issues, incarceration does not have the deterrent effect people believe it has. Yeah, but it gets them off the street, and so they can't commit these crimes against other people. These leftists are insane. King County Director of Public Defense Anita Kanderwall, when defending the bill, used the example of someone without shoes stealing a pair from Goodwill and explained an attorney would acquit the thief of wrongdoing on the basis that they didn't own the personal pair of shoes before the crime. Yeah, but if they assaulted somebody to take the shoes from Goodwill, they would certainly prosecute them, but they would be arrested. A similar example would be a person guilty of carjacking being acquitted of the crime based on the fact that they did not own a car because they could not afford one. Yeah, good point. From the Seattle Times, drunk or high speed driving, drunk or high driving and domestic violence assault are carved out as exceptions in the bill, but what's left in has been troubling to some who point to misdemeanors such as non-domestic assault, harassment, communicating with a minor for immoral purposes, and more. In a statement published Friday, police reform group Mothers for Police Accountability worried that a person committing assault would be acquitted simply by asserting that they were suffering from anxiety or depression or the triggering of some past trauma or some other symptom of a mental disorder, including alcoholism and addiction. Some also expressed concern about what could then happened once people with behavioral health issues were back on the street and criticized the idea for lacking a plan to then address the behavioral health or economic issues at the root of people's behavior. University's Crime and Justice Research Center Director Jacqueline Hefgott said the bill could have a huge impact on public safety, do you think? Likening the effect of decriminalizing up to 90% of misdemeanor crimes in Seattle if attorneys follow the bill strictly. Seattle police, who have seen their departments become the targets of leftist movements to defund the police, have come out against the bill, saying it would endanger the safety and rights of all people in Seattle. Seattle Police Department officers will continue to focus on holding individuals accountable who commit one of a thousands of assaults or thefts that occur in our community each year, statement from the city's police force reads. After being introduced in October, the bill was tabled over a budget process but is expected to come back for consideration over the winter. So anyway, then they say it's definitely going to be introduced. You've got leftist groups behind it. So we'll see what happens. But this is why you never let leftists get into your government. I don't care what kind of lies they tell to get in, but they're all dangerous and they'll destroy everything. Okay, here's a story from England. This is pathetic. Police chief who did nothing as BLM ripped down statue is honored with a medal. Can you believe that? The police chief who stood back and did nothing as Black Lives Matter activists ripped down a historic statue in Bristol, England during the lockdown has received a medal in New Year honors. Superintendent Andy Bennett was in charge of the response, or non-response, as we might say, to BLM activists pouring into the streets of Bristol despite a national lockdown to topple a 125-year-old statue of Edward Colston, a figure once revered as a great Christian philanthropist, responsible for endowing many almshouses, schools, and other charitable institutions, and has now been transformed into a hate figure for his then unremarkable business links to the slave trade. I don't understand why it's happened. It's very symbolic, Bennett told reporters after the incident, which saw officers look on as BLM activists spent some considerable amount of time defacing the fallen statue and then dragging it through the streets to throw it into the harbor. He says, Yeah, I understand what's happening. They're trashing your country, they're trashing your history, and they're trashing your ancestors. This dope doesn't get it. He thinks, oh, it's just they're mad, so we got to let them destroy things. He says we made a tactical decision that to stop them from doing the act may have caused further disorder, and we decided the safest thing to do in terms of our policing tactics was to allow it to take place. And he got a medal for this. The right thing to do was just let it happen, because what we did not want is tension. No, no, we can't have tensions with lawless mobs. You just have to let them destroy and deface and create. You know, what they should have done was went in there with typical riot control, rubber bullets, gas, and billy clubs, because then they'll think twice about trying it again. He concluded, or more or less admitting that he was unwilling to enforce the law for upsetting BLM. This coward. Bennett's lack of action was harshly criticized by many, but he would later double down on his behavior, saying, no one got hurt, and we had no arrests in the whole protest. Well, yeah, if you're not arresting anybody and just standing there with your thumb up your butt, how is there going to be any arrest? He said, this is 10,000 passionate people. Oh, boy, you talk about a euphemism to describe lawless communist mobs. He says, Bristol should be proud of itself. Yeah, for having a cuck like you as a police chief, I don't think that's anything that a normal society would be proud of. Anyway, the ineffectual officer summary of events neatly skips over the fact that the reason there were no arrests or scuffles with police is that the police simply allowed the activists to break the law unmolested. Yeah, that's right. I am humbled to receive this award, particularly at a time when so many are working tirelessly to help others during the pandemic, says Bennett of Avon and Somerset Police after receiving his Queen's Policing Medal and Boris Johnson's New Year honors. You know, this England is just something else. He says, I also want to recognize those members of the community who have been prepared to take a step forward to talk to us and help to break down barriers so we can move towards our goal of truly representing diverse citizens of Bristol. Yeah, just let them loot and riot and destroy. I guess that's his idea. Hang on a minute. Listen to this. Prominent Black Lives Matter activist Lewis Hamilton of Formula One fame received the even higher honor of a knighthood. In the same honors list, Brexit campaign leader Nigel Farage controversially received nothing. So they give bestow knighthood on a BLM activist. They've given a high award to a cop who refused to arrest a rioting BLM mob. You know, this England has got to be the most cucked country in the world. I've never seen anything like this. This is an embarrassment for someone who's probably at least half of my ancestors came from England. I see why they left. I mean, England's a total ridiculous embarrassment. It's just insane. Oh, God. Yeah, they toppled other, defaced other stuff, and these damn cops just stood there because they were ordered by this useless cuck of a police chief. Well, anyway, Bob, everything's going down, destroying the West. Destroying the country, destroying our people, our history, our heritage. It's just all going to hell. I think maybe the people in Rome and in other previous civilizations probably had to deal with the same crap because it's all part of the cycle of civilizations. They all go down and roughly for the same reasons. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAAJOY Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Yes, I've heard that similar statement, and most civilizations don't make it past the 200-year mark, and we definitely have passed that, but we definitely are taking a hiccup. It's interesting, they tear down all these statues. Why don't we tear down the statues of Margaret Sanger? She's the one that started Planned Parenthood 104 years ago, and one of her goals was to eliminate or stifle black pregnancies. But no one wants to tear down her statue, right?
Well, the left is kind of distancing themselves from her. I think there's been some abortion clinics that have be renamed. But on the other hand, if Margaret Sanger, if there were no abortions, you'd have about 40 million more blacks. So I don't know what that would mean today. You'd have even more Democrat votes. You'd never get a conservative in, so it's just something to think about. Anyway, back to you, Bob.
Well, that's an interesting thought. Thank you. KO4FE, KHLI. Let me run down to Joplin, Missouri. Kilo Echo Zero, Victor Romeo Tango. Mr. William, it is your turn. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Bob, and everybody on the net. I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year ahead of us. This is KE0VRT, and this story is coming out of the National Pulse. It's about all major Western media outlets take private dinners and sponsored trips from Chinese Communist propaganda press. A host of corporate media outlets, including CNN, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and MSNBC, have participated in private dinners and sponsored trips with the China-United States Exchange Foundation and Chinese Communist Party funding groups seeking to garner favorable coverage and disseminate positive messages regarding China. Other outlets involved in the propaganda operation include Forbes, the Financial Times, Newsweek, Bloomberg, Reuters, ABC News, The Economist, The Wall Street Journal, AFP, Time Magazine, LA Times, The Hill, BBC, and The Atlantic. The relationship is revealed in the Department of Justice's Foreign Agent Registration Act filings, which reveal relationships spanning over a decade between establishment media outlets and the China-United States Exchange Foundation. CUSES is a Chinese Communist Party-funded initiative founded by Tung Chi Huang. The group also targets American universities with offers to fund policy research, high-level dialogues, and exchange programs. Tung also served as vice chairman of the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference, the CPPCC, identified by the U.S.-China Security and Economic Review Commission as a key component of the Chinese Communist Party's United Work Front. The effort, according to the U.S. government report, aims to co-opt and neutralize sources of potential opposition to the policies and authority of its ruling Chinese Communist Party. The United Front strategy uses a range of methods to influence overseas Chinese communities, foreign governments, and other actors to take actions or adopt positions supportive of Beijing's preferred policies, he continues. The strategy appears to have been deployed in conjunction with outlets such as CNN, New York Times, and Washington Post. A 2011 FARA filing highlighted by Axios detailed CUSES agreement with American lobbying firm DLJ. It outlines how CUSES set out to effectively disseminate positive messages to the media, key influencers, and opinion leaders, and the general public regarding China. To do so, CUSES targeted working journalists and journalist students. In order to develop a favorable coverage in key national media, BLJ will continue to organize and staff familiarization trips to China. This includes recruiting top journalists to travel to China, selected for effective opportunities for favorable coverage. In 2009 alone, CUSCS generated 28 media placements as a result of its four journalistic hits. And BLJ secured the publication of 26 opinion articles and quotes within 103 separate articles on behalf of CUSCS. Outlets included Newsweek, The National Journal, The Nation, Congressional Quarterly, U.S. News, World Report, The Chicago Tribune, and the Washington Note. BLJ arranged for two journalist visits consisting of four high-profile journalists to visit China in May and November of 2009. The journalists represented top publications in the United States, including Newsweek, The National Journal, The Nation, Congressional Quarterly, U.S. News, World Report, The Chicago Tribune, and The Washington Note. In total, there were 28 media placements generated as a result of these visits. BLJ continued to draft material, facilitate the publication of op-eds, and arrange media interviews for third-party supporters. In total, BLJ assisted with or directly influenced the publication of 26 opinion articles and quotes within 103 separate articles. BLJ presented daily reports throughout 2009, outlining general media coverage as well as specifically BLJ-generated media. In total, BLJ directly contributed to or influenced a total of articles, which averages out to 3 per week. BLJ directly contributed to or influenced an average of... While universities, including the University of Texas at Austin, had divested from CUSF in the light of its Chinese Communist Party ties, the same cannot be said for dozens of Western media outlets. FARA filings from CUSF's American lobbying firm, BLJ, reveal American media organization participation in private dinners at BLJ CEO's home on behalf of CUSF, trips to China, and meetings with CUSF officials. A filing dated January 1, 2012, show outlets including the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Reuters, CNN, and more participating in private dinners at the home of CUSAF, American lobbying firm's CEO. More on that list is of the outlets that attended that were, of course, the New York Times, Forbes Asia, Financial Times, Wall Street Journal, Thomson Reuters, Bloomberg, Economist, Newsweek, Nation, ABC News, and CNN. Boy, none of these names are really a surprise as being collaborators with China. Anyway, I'll go on. The same filing reveals that outlets including the National Public Radio, The Atlantic, MSNBC, and Reuters had journalists visit China to meet with CUSCS officials. Since then, the filings continue to reveal a host of Western outlets attending private dinners and visiting China. Most outlets are included more than once. In 2013, the Washington Post joined the China-bound journalism delegation. In 2014, Harvard Business Review also joined a delegation. In 2015, the Los Angeles Times and the Huffington Post also visited the communist country. A 2014 filing reveals that lobbying firm BLJ arranged private dinners in New York and Washington, D.C. on behalf of CUSCS with over 20 attendees, including the New York Times, Washington Post, Reuters, Associated Press, BBC, and more. The list of outlets that also attended were New York Times, Associated Press, Time Magazine, Quartz, CBS News, Bloomberg, Forbes Magazine, The Atlantic, Agence France-Presse, Wall Street Journal, McClatchy Newspapers, Congressional Quarterly, LA Times, Financial Times, CNN, Business Week, Forbes Asia, Washington Post, The Hill, BBC News, and Reuters. Images in the CUSF NCS brochure shed light on the entities visited by journalists. Between 2011 and 2013, images revealed journalists touring Huawei, a telecommunications firm labeled a national security threat and major military collaborator by the U.S. government, along with Chinese military bases. Following the ongoing pressure campaign, CUSCF has escaped significant criticism in the corporate press. There have only been a few mentions in the broader pieces concerning Chinese Communist Party influence operations on American college campuses. Such behavior from news outlets implies a conflict of interest, or worse, if the ostensible news outlets have been bought off. Of course they've been bought off. We all know that. Anyway, continuing on. Even when CUSES is criticized, such as in the Washington Post article, China's reach into U.S. campuses, CUSES Executive Director Alan Wong was offered a rebuttal, something that even Americans in the political right failed to obtain from outlets such as the Post. Vox, another outlet participating in CUSES journalism trips, prefaced an article on President Trump and North Korea by noting author Yoshi Driesen wrote it while on a trip out to China sponsored by the China United States Exchange Foundation. The author of this article wrote it while on a trip to China sponsored by the China United States Exchange Foundation. It's the CUSES, to remind everybody, a privately funded nonprofit organization based in Hong Kong that is dedicated to facilitating open and constructive exchange among policymakers, business leaders, academics, think tanks, cultural figures, and educators from the United States and China. Vox.com reporting, as always, is independent. Anyway, the article, which featured quotes from Chinese Communist Party officials, appeared to regurgitate the party line, noting Beijing won big. As Foreign Policy Magazine noted, to its credit, CUSES is scarcely a private-funded nonprofit, but rather is a registered foreign agent bankrolled by high-ranking Chinese government officials with close ties to a sprawling Chinese Communist Party apparatus that handles operations abroad. Guys, could you imagine any of the media back in the 80s collaborating with the Soviet Union like they are with China today? You know, they'd be killed for that. It just wouldn't happen. That's all I have for this round. Back to you, Bob, K-A-J-O-Y. This is K-E-0-V-R-T.
All righty, William. Thank you. K-E-0-V-R-T. K-A-J-O-Y. I appreciate the input. Let's run down to Iron City, Wisconsin. James, Whiskey Bravo 9, Romeo Whiskey Yankee. It's up to you. Over.
Thank you, Bob. This is WB9RWY. And I appreciate the comments on the net. Some of the things that came to mind about the vaccinations, I am not going to have a vaccination. I'm plenty old, and that it might be a good idea, but I've never even had a flu shot. And where I work, they may think that it's required, but I'm just going to tell them, no thanks, it's my body, my choice. I can throw the liberal philosophy right back at them, and they won't be able to say anything. As a condition of employment, well, we'll see. We'll see about that. And then, of course, I'm looking forward to the rally in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. They think there might be near a million people there. But don't expect the mainstream media to make an honest report of it. I'm pretty sure they will rather talk about something else. I heard this week that the majority of the deaths in the United States are not from a particular disease itself. The majority of the deaths are actually abortions. And I was surprised to hear that, even though I know the number was high. I didn't know it was that high. I think someone mentioned that Canada is going to require a negative test to enter. I remember when you didn't even need a passport, you don't need anything, you just walk up there and say, I want to go fishing, and they say, okay, don't forget to get out of here in 2 weeks. And no papers, no nothing, now they want you to get a negative virus test. So I want to know, one day they're going to stop doing that, I assume, or they're going to do that from now on. They don't ask for any negative tests on anything else. Certainly not. So about the legalizing of crime in Seattle, they don't really need to do that. That's the jury's job to do that. If the crime's been committed and that's extraordinary circumstances, then the jury can acquit, even though technically the accused may have committed a crime. the jury can still acquit. So the system's already there for, they don't really need to, they don't need to legalize crime. They just have to let the jury do its job. And, of course, they won't because they believe in liberal privilege. So if you're breaking the law for the right reason, then that's fine. And, they have a liberal privilege to do that. The knighthood as a BLM activist, you know, for a long time has been losing respect for England. It's perfectly legitimate for an American to say that he doesn't have good thoughts about that. But, you know, Winston Churchill once said, America, United States, and England are two countries separated by a common language. It's true, we have a lot in common, and I wish all the best for the United Kingdom, England especially, and Scotland, Ireland. But really, I don't know what's going on over there. I have to think, where's the monarchy? They're experimenting. They have an experiment in democracy, too. And I don't like the way that's going either. So, finally, they're out of the European Union, so perhaps they're turning in the right direction. So I would like to think that the monarchy would have a better opinion, but she's the one who gives the knighthoods. So I don't know what she's thinking. I have a lot of respect for Queen Elizabeth, who's been there a long time. She's got a lot of wisdom. So why would she do that? I don't understand. So I'm going to close with a question. What's the world coming to? I say that every day. So back to the net. Thanks, Bob. KAHJOY. This is WB9RWY.
Thank you, James. I don't know what the world's coming to. WB9RWY. Before I move to the next one, I'm going to throw out Mr. Ted, who can only listen, but he records for us. KBHPRK. Good evening to you, Ted. We had lunch together today, and we sat there from 1 o'clock till 4:30. I'm also going to say hi to Miss Laura, N2JTP. Miss Laura and the kitty, I guess that would be N2KITTY, but she doesn't have a call letter. So with that being said, I'm going to jump down to Mr. Moe in the great state of Nebraska. KD0RSA, are you copying everybody okay? Over.
KD0RSA, the last one I couldn't understand at all. The other one just before him talked about what the news media in China was doing. And, well, the turtle McConnell, you know, is married to a Chinese lady, and her sister is on the board in a Chinese bank, so that kind of tells you what McConnell is doing, or the turtle is doing. I call him the turtle. That tells you what turtle is doing. Anyway, as far as Larry talking about that mammal buried in the ice, well, 20 years ago, we had some excavation about, well, it was down there where I used to live. I walked over the ground where they done the excavation on the road work, and they dug up an elephant down there. So I don't know how many thousands of years ago, but this ground up in here evidently was quite warm in the all year around. And because there was elephants up here, because they dug that one up. I had something else to say, but I can't remember what it was. Anyway, I sure do hope pray that January 6th, that somebody wakes up what's going on with this election stuff and puts a stop to it. And there ought to be a whole bunch of them put in jail. And that includes a bunch of Chinese in this country also. KD0RSA, I'll turn back to you, JOY. Over.
All righty, Mr. Moe. All we can do is pray. I think Jesse's going to make a trip to D.C., but we definitely need to pray for our country and for our president. There's a lot of power in it. And saying the word Jesse, I got a message from him, so I believe the young man is present and accounted for. So thank you, Mr. Mo, KD0RSA, down to Mr. Jesse, KG4VX in a C, KAHJO in a Y.
Okay, well, good evening, everybody, on the Saturday Night Liberty Net. How you copy, Bob?
About 25 over 9.
So. Okay, roger, roger. Well, good to know that I'm reaching you guys okay. And good evening. It's great to be here tonight. We're running a little bit late tonight, getting a few storms that rolled across the area. It's had some nasty mist in it, so it kind of hindered me to get in here on time. But anyway, it's good to be here on the Saturday Night Liberty Net. And thanks for running that, Mr. Bob. Everybody's sounding good from where I came in. Well, anyway, let's see. What do we have to talk about? Well, let's see. Did anybody catch the word from Gateway Pundits today? If you didn't, I'm going to bring it up again because I want to make sure if it was covered or not. But pallets of fake ballots in Georgia and Fulton County were identified and filmed in samples before moving to the truck that picked them up and shredded them. So, you know, the coup attempt is still going on, ladies and gentlemen, and we're dead in the middle of it right now. Anyway, I'm going to read this little bit of story. The counterfeiters of Fulton County, Georgia ballots record in the 2020 election were identified before the corrupt gang of Georgia officials picked them up and shredded them. Samples were also taken, so they got the proof, guys. A lot of information came out this morning from Fulton County. The Georgia election gang has some major explain to do. Patrick Byrne, founder of Overstock.com, now a member of the Trump team who is attempting to prove the massive fraud of election across the county, released some shocking news moments this morning when it came out, in a series of tweets. Big news of counterfeit in Fulton County, Georgia, and it was on a tip. Our operatives entered the Fulton County building warehouse, took a series of photos and pictures, and these are fake ballots. To note the quantity of these ballots are over, good gosh, I can't remember how many they said they found, but it was pallets of them. So we're thinking they were going to be used in this incoming election. But anyway, that's what I wanted to bring up tonight, and I hope to God everybody can get out and be at D.C. just anybody that can get out and go to D.C. On the 6th, I wish you would. We need all the support we can get, and hopefully we will actually be heard, because 11 of the senators led by Tom Cruise has got a petition going so they can do emergency I can't even remember what they call it, but anyway, they're doing an emergency hearing on it and giving 10 days to go through the election fraud down there, so hopefully something will get done. Anyway, Bob, I won't hold it, and good to hear everybody in there tonight. So KAKOY and the Saturday Night Liberty Net, this is KG4ZXE.
Thank you, Jesse. Glad you could join us. KG4ZX and a C, KHOI. Let me stop and see if there's anybody else new for the night. This is KHOI. If someone's a late check-in, come now.
Kilo 4, what's the X-ray?
W2GIO. W2GIO.
Alrighty, I heard a couple. Let me see here. I think GIO is, I got Frank. I got Kilo Kilo 4 Whiskey X-ray, and I heard one more.
K4LFR, Danny in Woodstock, Georgia. Over.
Alrighty, let me have it again. Kilo Echo 4 Lima.
K4 Lima Fox Radio, LFR.
Alrighty, give me a moment to type all these in, but I will go to Mr. Russ because I've got his already written down. So, KK4WX, nice to hear from you. Go ahead, you're up.
Okay, Bob, real good. Hope everybody is doing well on your end, and I would, I wish I could say the same, but unfortunately I've got a little bit of sad news. I did do want to comment that a lot of you on the air tonight sounded a lot better than the last time I was on. So I think maybe the conditions are doing us a little bit better this time. So very good. We've had a lot of rain here tonight, and I don't know if that's got anything to do with it, but seems like I'm receiving better signals here anyway. I know I am between you and I, Bob. Anyway, this is KK4WX in Southern Georgia. First off, on the list I want to get announced is it was sad to learn that I lost my mother-in-law. This morning I learned of her passing. She was in a nursing home, 91 years old. Her name was Mrs. Marjorie Pearson. And sadly enough, we haven't really been able to visit her ever since this COVID thing started. The nursing facility that she was in would not allow any visitors whatsoever, so they've really done a marvelous job. And I just really, I don't know anything to say that you know, I could criticize them on as far as what we know as a family. I know that we haven't been able to visit my mother-in-law. My wife hadn't been able to visit her whatsoever, except for one time they had them outside in one, some of them in chairs, some of them standing, but they had what we call a drive-by, where you could drive by and you'd see your loved one and then you'd wave at them. But unfortunately, Miss Pearson had dementia issues also, so, you know, but she looked good when we did that. That was back during the summer. And we got a call this Sunday saying that she had tested positive for COVID, and but she didn't have any symptoms at all. She wasn't even running a fever. And then all of a sudden, the day before yesterday, we got a call that we hadn't even heard anything at all since last Sunday. And then all of a sudden, day before yesterday, we got a call from the nursing home saying that she had taken a turn for the worse. And she was really non-responsive. So when we heard that, you know, I have to admit, I kind of expected the worst, and needless to say, we got the news early this morning that she had passed during the night. So kind of a sad house around here, but Miss Pearson was 91 years old, and she lived a very good life. She was a very, very good Christian woman, and I know that I can speak that from the bottom of my heart, that if any woman's got a right or is going to heaven, I know she's there. So, having said that, I want to get on to one other subject. I don't know if any of you have heard of the changing the names of the military bases, especially the ones down here in the Dixie South. Many, many old military bases such as Fort Benning, for one. I mean, who hadn't ever heard? If you've been in the Army, you've been to Fort Benning more than likely and been done some training, any kind of ranger training, parachute jumping training, you name it, rifle sniper training. It's all been done there at Fort Benning. But Fort Benning, oh good grief, many other bases, Fort Hood. There's a, I'm trying to think of the one over there in North Carolina. But anyway, it's a lot of them around. And I don't know, it's something in this latest bill, I believe, that they wanted to just up and pass in this bill that, you know, this stimulus bill that, if I'm not mistaken, I could be mistaken, but I think I heard that it was in there that they agreed to change the names of these military bases. We've got some more, you know, cleansing we need to do. I don't understand what in the world could that accomplish? What, by changing the names of these bases, what in the world would that accomplish? And besides wasting a lot of money, or just wiping our heritage clean off of the face of the earth. And I'm not trying to take sides on the southern side in particular, although that's where my heart lies. That's where I've lived all my life. That's what my ancestors fought for, the Confederacy, during the war between the war of northern aggression. But having said that, I just want to say that if you think that your statues, anybody that's listening that might be up north or wherever you are, everything from Abraham Lincoln to you name it, if you think your statues are going to be safe, let me tell you, it's going to be yours next. It's going to be yours next. It's going to be Christopher Columbus. You name it. Any of our heroes, if they're white, more than likely, they're going to be attacked. They're going to be removed and put in some warehouse or something. Maybe if they're lucky, they'll be put in a warehouse and stored rather than be destroyed. But I was kind of impressed to hear this news about this incoming state senator from, of all places, Arizona. Evidently, she was a military, a veteran. And I'm just going to read just a little bit about her. And I don't know if any of you have heard about her or not. Let me identify one time here before I get too long. KK4WX for ID. It says, incoming Arizona state senator doubles down on defense of Confederate General Robert E. Lee. And the article goes on, Arizona State Senator-elect Wendy Rogers is doubling down after being chided by the fake news media for refusing to throw Confederate General Robert E. Lee under the bus due to political expediency. It says on Monday, Rogers posted in a tweet that Lee was a great, quote, great patriot and a great leader, and that is why he was being targeted for removal by cancel culture. It says she then follows that up with a controversial statement venerating Lee's patriotism above that of the modern left. She says Rogers pointed out that Lee bravely served his nation while socialists subvert and destroy their host nation from within. When the fake news attempted to scapegoat her, Rogers posted the hit piece defiantly and refused to back down an inch. Weak beta males and anti-white communists were equally triggered by Roger's steadfast unwillingness to grovel and whine on Twitter about her remarks. And it's got several of her things here on Twitter where she stated her facts. Anyway, while the haters may be angry because of Rogers' unabashed sentiments about General Lee, they pale in comparison to former President Dwight D. Eisenhower's praise of the man. Eisenhower, a five-star general who led the Allies in Europe during World War II, proudly venerated Lee as one of the finest Americans ever to live. Says additionally, Eisenhower wrote a long-form letter in defense of Lee back in 1960. Quote, here it is. General Robert E. Lee was, in my estimation, one of the supremely gifted men produced by our nation. He believed unswervingly in the constitutional validity of his cause, which until 1865 was still an arguable question in America. He was a poised and inspiring leader, true to high trust reposed in him by millions of his fellow citizens. He was thoughtful yet demanding of his officers and men, forbearing and captured enemies, but ingenious and unrelenting and personally courageous in battle, and never disheartened by a reverse or obstacle. Eisenhower wrote, and then he said, quote, through all his many trials, he remained selfless, almost to the fault, and unfailing in his faith in God. Taking all together, he was noble as a leader, as a man, and unsullied as I read the pages of our history. He added, from deep conviction, I simply say this, a nation of men of Lee's caliber would be unconquerable in the spirit and soul. And then this article picks back up and says, leftists, with help from their cowardly conservative enablers, are erasing Lee from public life and committing a blood libel against his sterling reputation as part of their ISIS-style cultural genocide against traditional America. Senator-elect Rogers is a patriot for not participating in this ritual castigation of a national hero. I thought that was a pretty good, well-written article, and one that we should all really celebrate and hope that we get more and more people like this state senator-elect, Miss Rogers. I think Wendy Rogers, she's just, I tell you what, she's a dream. She's a dream, and somebody we'll be very proud to have here in the South, I can tell you that. I just wish there was more like her. So, with that, Bob, I don't have anything else. I hope I didn't keep it too long, but everybody's sounding good, and hope everybody has a good new year coming up. Keep up the good fight, and let's be true, let's be honest, and let's love our God and country. KA8JOY from KK4WX.
KK4WX, KJY. Well, Russ, I got to tell you, I read a book about called Lincoln's T-Mails, T for Tango. It's about the telegraph, and it talks about Robert E. Lee and Ulysses S. Grant. I've always lived in the North, but when I was born, my father picked the first name Robert, and my mother, I'm told, said, let's use the name Lee like the general. So I've always had a spot in my heart to think that my parents, even though they were Northerners, they used General Lee's name. Over.
All Roger. Well, it's just a known fact, Bob, that General Lee was a God-loving man. He was a decent man. And I can just tell you that even when he invaded the North up in Pennsylvania, there's no record or anything of him going through the private citizenry and doing damage or causing turmoil or looting or anything like that, the local townspeople. He didn't wage war against the citizens, but only against the military. He didn't do like Sherman did. That nasty Sherman, nasty-ass Sherman came through and burned his way all the way. Anything he could set a torch to, he burned. And if some of you didn't know this, by the way, this is a pretty good well-known secret around the Confederate circles here in the South. But why do you think they have the old saying that it's good luck to eat black-eyed peas on New Year's? The reason why that is because during the time when Sherman came through Georgia, he burned everything, and he come across some farms and bins with caches of these black-eyed peas, and he didn't know what to do with them. Seriously, he did not know what to do with them. He couldn't hardly burn them or anything, so he left them. Well, guess what the Southern people lived off of? Black-eyed peas, because that's all they had left. But they were certainly lucky and glad to have them. So that's why they still consider it a lucky thing, a good thing on New Year's to always eat black-eyed peas. Back over to you, Bob, K-A-A-J-O-Y, from KK4WX.
Thank you, Russ. And yeah, I knew about Sherman going to Hotlanta, and then he said he did not burn Savannah because they bowed down to him and gave him everything. But I love going to Georgia. I think Savannah is one of the most interesting cities in the United States. I just enjoy that state so well. So thank you, sir. Let me run down to Mr. Frank in Fishkill. I guess that's how I'm supposed to say it. W2GIO, good evening. It is your turn, over.
Hey, good evening, everybody. The only thing I got to say is I'll be down in Washington on the 5th. So I have a young lady friend flying in from Arizona, a true patriot, and she's bringing, she's got a friend coming in from New Mexico, and he's driving. So there you go. Monday at 4, I'll be in let's see, where am I going to be? In Harrisburg or somewhere near Hershey. And then we'll be on our way to create some stir things up a little bit. Anyhow, that's about it from me. Just glad to hear everybody, and say a little prayer that we are safe in this journey, and that's what I'm requesting. W2GIO.
Frank, I will add that to my list, you and Jesse both, so thank you. W2GIO, KJY. And then I've got Mr. Daniel, Kilo Echo 4, Lima Foxtrot Romeo in the state of Georgia. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, thank you, Bob. I hope you can hear me okay. This is Danny in Wichita, Georgia. This is the first time I've listened to the Liberty Net. I'm usually on early in the morning with the Georgia Crackers and the Geritol Net between 5 a.m. and 10 a.m. I turn the radio off. I'm on tonight because I slept all day. Can't go to sleep tonight, but I'm really, really impressed with your group and your report. It's very disheartening to hear all this crap. I'm afraid 2021 is going to be very bad for this nation. Even worse than the COVID virus. And I'll be viewing the patient. I'm dying of cancer and have been so for the last year. It's only a short time for me, but I really hate what is happening. And I can't say anything more. Thank you very much, and thank you for the net. This is K4LFR, Denton in Woodstock.
All righty, Daniel. Well, thank you for joining us. And I think I understood that you said that you have a form of cancer, correct?
Say that again, please.
Did you say that you have cancer? Over.
Yeah, I've had cancer since 2000. This is my third cancer, and I'm afraid it's worth it killing me. I'm on my third kid.
Well, God bless you, and I'll add you to my list too. I really appreciate you being here with us. I think it's interesting you're in Marietta, Georgia, and there's a Marietta, Ohio. So thank you for joining us. We're going to go through the list again, so if you're still wide awake, stay with us.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys. I'll be listening to very, very informative and very patriotic. That's all I've got to say. This is KE4LFR.
Alrighty, sir. KE4LFR, KHOY. Let me check one more time for any late check-ins before I start back at the top. This is KAHJOY for the Real Liberty Net. Do I have any late
Whiskey
check-ins?
Whiskey Delta 8 Alpha Yankee Charlie. Whiskey Delta 8 Alpha Yankee Charlie.
WD8AYC. Well, since you're checked in, go ahead, sir.
Well, yeah, this is Rick from Paris, Ohio, up by Canton. But I just wanted to let you know, I just wanted to check in. I don't have anything I could add to anything, so I just wanted to get on your list there, okay? WD8AYC.
All righty, Richard. Well, you're welcome whether you bring something to the table or not. Just you being here is plenty, so thank you.
Maybe not KDC.
I thought I heard a call out in the distance, but I didn't quite get enough of it. Did anybody else?
It's maybe not KDC. You a Bravo 9 or you a Bravo Charlie?
I've got the Kilo Bravo 9, but I'm missing the end of it.
KB9, KBC. Kilo Bravo 9,
how about KB9, KBC?
Roger.
Alrighty, well, KB9, KBC, since I got you, go ahead and tell us what's on your mind. Alrighty, well, thank you for bringing that to our attention, and I will be back to you in round number two. I'm going to throw out a quick article, and then I'm going to start back over. It's from Newsmax. Iran's President Hassan Rouhani declared that President Donald Trump will be dead in a few days during a speech in his Islamic Nations cabinet as the first anniversary of the killing of a general in the country's military approach. Rouhani's Wednesday speech, excerpts of which were posted in English on the Iran presidential website, called Qasem Soleimani a martyr and a moderate leader with tact. Soleimani, the leader of Iran's Quds Force, described by military specialists as an unconventional war and clandestine operations unit, was targeted and killed in a drone strike January 3rd, 2020 that was approved by President Donald Trump. The U.S. Department of Defense blamed Soleimani for hundreds of deaths and injuries to Americans. He was purposely killed while in a neighboring Iraq while actively developing plans to attack American diplomats and service members in Iraq and throughout the region. Besides Trump, Rouhani referred to the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo as the main perpetrators of this crime. One of the effects of this stupid and despicable act was that Trumpism ended in a few days and the life of this criminal will end and he will go to dustbin of history. And we are very happy about this and we believe that the period after Trump will be better, Rouhani said. So apparently he's made a death threat towards our president. Definitely interesting. I know our president definitely has had a challenge, especially with his own people, so we'll see how that plays out. I'm back at the top of the list. Nice list. Thank you for everyone checking in. Mr. Larry from Knoxville, in for ROQ, round number two. What say you?
Okay. Good to hear everyone. Russ, I think that there was a bill that was added in with some type of military bill that Trump didn't sign. He didn't, as a matter of fact, I'm not sure he remember. He didn't sign it. He vetoed it, in other words. And it was passed over his objections there, over his veto. And in that bill was where the names of the military establishments there, bases, could be changed there. So that they passed it over his veto, I think. That's what I remember reading. So that's not good. That's not good. That's probably a lot of Republicans voted for that, too. And that was the reason he vetoed the bill, is that one of the main reasons. There could have been some other things, but they add a bunch of stuff like that in these bills, the Democrats, and when they do, then they want to sneak it on through and think you'll just go ahead and sign it. Well, they vetoed it, but we passed it over his veto. Moving on, we got a stimulus payment coming. And it's just $600, but here's some information on it. Says, have you checked your bank account? Your economic impact payment may already be there. Americans who have direct deposits set up through the Internal Revenue Service could have received their payment as early as Tuesday. Paper checks are to start going out Wednesday, according to the Treasury Department. And if you are wondering where things stand on the payments being bumped up to $2,000, it seems unlikely. After blocking quick passage of a measure that would increase the payments, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell introduced a bill Tuesday that includes demands by President Donald Trump on contentious issues the Democrats are not likely to support, and thus will kill any chances of increasing aid payments. If the government does sign into law an additional boost, the Treasury said payments that have been issued will be topped up as quickly as possible, meaning an additional payment with a difference would be added. How much will the check be? The new round of stimulus includes $600 direct payment to individual Americans who earned up to $75,000 in 2019, or $1,200 for couples filing jointly who made up to $150,000. That is less than the payments of $1,200 for individuals and $2,400 for couples approved in the Coronavirus Act Relief and Economic Security Act in March. This current round provides $600 per child, up from $500 in the spring. The size of the benefit would be reduced for those earning more than $75,000 or $150,000. Per married couple. The amount will decrease by $5 for every $100 of income above those thresholds. How do I know I'll get a check? Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin tweeted Tuesday that you can check your payment status this week at http irs.gov/getmypayment. However, not everyone qualifies for the payment. Notably, many students don't qualify. Neither do immigrants who don't have a Social Security number. Some elderly and disabled people won't get a check either, along with high wage earners. Well, people will receive a debit card, but just like the first round of payments under the CARES Act, most Americans will receive their via direct deposit for Social Security and other beneficial or other beneficiaries who receive the first round of payments by direct express. They will receive this second payment the same way. Anyone who got the first round of payments this year that doesn't use direct deposit will generally receive a check or in some instance a debit card. If you do receive a debit card, make sure it has Visa on the front. The issuing bank is Meta Bank. What if I never got a payment? Ineligible individuals who did not receive an economic impact payment this year, either the first or the second payment, will be able to claim it when they file their 2020 taxes in 2021. So this was put out by USA Today. All right. Moving on from there. Here I wanted to read. And let's see. It's regarding China sentences 10 seeking to flee Hong Kong to prison terms. A Chinese court on Wednesday sentenced 10 pro-democratic activists and protesters who sought to flee Hong Kong by speedboat to between 7 months and 3 years in prison in a case with major political overtones for the territory. The Yantai District Court in the southern city of Shenzhen gave the harshest sentences to the two accused organizers of the ill-fated August the 23rd attempt to reach self-ruled Taiwan. Relatives said all defendants pleaded guilty, apparently in hopes of receiving lighter sentences. So, don't know what exactly that means. It looks like that China's stepping up there on some of the protesters. Anyone protesting there is going to have a problem, looks like. There was a earthquake in the San Francisco Bay Area, a magnitude 3.6 earthquake jolted the San Francisco Bay Area on the last day of 2020. The U.S. Geological Survey said the offshore quake struck around 5:40 a.m. Thursday, a few miles west of San Francisco at a depth of about 9 miles. A depth of about 9 miles, pretty far down in the ground. The agency's website showed thousands of reports of people saying they felt the earthquake. Many took to social media to say it woke them up or was at a fitting end for 2020. Bay Area news station KGO-TV reported that there were no reports of damage or injuries. So 3.6. I'm sure they felt that. All right, back to you up there, Bob. Everyone's sounding good. Good to hear a lot of good check-ins there. So, KAHJOY from N4IOQ on the Liberty Net. Back to that.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate your input. N4IOQ, KHOY. I got a text message, or it's an instant message, that KC3DDB signed off, so I'm going to pass on in and go right to Mr. Bill. KO4FE, KAHJOY.
Okay, KAHJOY, Liberty Net, the real Liberty Net, not the fake net. This is KO4FE. A couple comments before I get into an article here. I do agree with Russ that people think this, well, it's not stopping with Confederate statues. It's already going on. They took down a Abraham Lincoln monument in Boston, I think last week, and there's been several other ones, more than a few. So it's already going beyond Confederate figures. This is just an attack on traditional white Americans is what this is all about. I did want to discuss briefly, I had about an hour long phone call with a friend of mine who's working over in Saudi Arabia. It's kind of interesting. It's an interesting country. He says it's not hard to live there because they have very few laws, unlike here where you can be violating laws you don't even know about. But in Saudi Arabia, they got very few laws, but the difference is the laws they do have, they enforce them. And there's no arguing, no arguing with the police, no rioting, none of that crap. They got few laws, and they just enforce them, and you obey them, and that's it. But he says, other than the few laws they have, he says, the people are very friendly. The police don't bother people generally. And that's basically it. He says it's an easy place to live in. But we were talking about the China virus, and he had told me a couple months ago, or maybe 4 months ago, I guess it was, that the police over there freely give out masks and hand sanitizers. You don't even have to pay for it. And they even have roadblocks where they check to make sure everybody has a mask. I don't think you got to wear it in a car, but you have to have it. And if you're out in public, you simply wear a mask. There's no option. And they also, I didn't know about this, but they've shut down the borders to Saudi Arabia. You're free to leave Saudi Arabia, but even if you're a citizen, you can't get back in. And that the only exemptions to that rule are the military or like government contractors, essential people that have to be able to come and go. But if you're a tourist or even a citizen of Saudi Arabia, if you leave the country, you don't get to come back. And I did notice that their COVID, their China virus rate has been decreasing since July, and they haven't had any spikes since then. He said it's really dropped down, and there's really not hearing much about it. But they still are keeping the mask rule in. But anyway, so that's what's going on in other countries. But it was interesting. He said today the high temperature was 70 and the low was 40, and that's considered really cold over there. And I asked him if they sold insulated beekeeper suits for the women, and he said, yeah, they've got insulated hijabs and I don't know what burkas, and I don't know the names of all the different Muslim clothes, but yeah, they sell insulated versions of them for the winter. Anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. But anyway, let's get back to the United States and the insanity going on here. I guess the liberals can never come up with enough schemes to try to make up for the dysfunction that's going on in these liberal school districts. But San Diego's they think this is going to solve the problem of low scores in certain demographic groups. And this is again off Zero Hedge. It says San Diego schools eliminate grading in anti-racist education push. district officials in San Diego evidently believe that the practice of grading students based on average scores is racist. K through 12 students in large public school districts across the country spent much of their fall semester at home, and less than ideal results of the COVID-19 pandemic. But Zoom learning was hardly the only significant change to the educational system. Some school districts are embracing a trendy but dubious idea about how to fight racism in the classroom. The San Diego Unified School District, for instance, moved this fall to abolish its traditional grading system. Students will still receive letter grades, but they won't reflect average scores on papers, quizzes, and tests. Under the new system, pupils will not be penalized for failing to complete assignments or even show up for class, and teachers will give them extra opportunities to demonstrate their, quote, mastery, unquote, of subjects. What constitutes mastery is not clear, but listen to this. But grades shall not be influenced by behaviors or factors that directly measure students' knowledge and skills in content area, according to guidance from the district. Now, let me read that again. Grades shall not be influenced by behavior or factors that directly measure students' knowledge or skills in the content area. Now, how the hell are they going to give a grade if they don't test for the knowledge and skills in a particular subject? I mean, this is insanity. Anyway, district officials evidently believe that the practice of grading students based on average scores is racist, and that anti-racism demands a learning environment free from the pressure to turn in assignments on time. As evidence for the urgency of these changes, the district released data showing that minority students received more D's and F's than white students. Just 7% of whites received failing grades, compared to 23% of Native Americans, 23% of Hispanics, and 20% of black students. Well, what that says is that the majority of Native American, Hispanic, and black students are getting better scores. But anyway, says this is part of our honest reckoning as a school district, Vice President Richard Barrera told local NBC affiliate. If we're actually going to be an anti-racist school district, we have to confront practices like this that have gone on for years and years. Well, if you're anti-racist, you're going to be a school district that doesn't teach the kids anything, and then they'll be unfit to work, and then I guess you'll have another problem. Anyway, the article continues. It says these changes to San Diego's schools' grading systems are an excellent example of a bureaucracy citing a noble-sounding goal. I mean, who could be against anti-racism to justify a policy that doesn't address the issue whatsoever? After all, eliminating these kinds of grades won't eliminate the underlying inequities that produce the disparate failure rates. It may actually cover these inequities up, given that grades are merely a tool for evaluating students' progress. The district is essentially announcing it will no longer gather as much evidence as it could about negative school phenomenon it would presumably like to fix. Better grades do not mean students will suddenly have a better grasp of the material. They certainly won't be better prepared for college, where traditional grades are very much still a thing. Indeed, this is a lot like addressing poverty by no longer tallying the number of homeless people. Or, to use a timely example, like President Trump's frustrating that increasing COVID-19 testing makes the epidemic look worse. coronavirus cases exist even if they go undetected. Similarly, minority students who are falling behind their classmates will be falling behind even if their teachers aren't giving them F's. So anyway, there you go, more liberal insanity. It's like a nut house in these towns, cities, and school districts. They're always blaming racism for everything. I guess that's a convenient excuse because it never allows them to deal with actual issues. So anyway, Bob, back to you. KAAJOY, LibertyNet, KO4FE.
All righty, Bill. Thank you. KO4FE, KAJOY. It's amazing. Our world really is upside down. But so let me wander over to the next Mr. William in Joplin. KE0VRT, KAJOY.
Thanks, Bob. This is KE0VRT. My next article is out of the American Thinker. This is labeled January 6th and the right to protest. While the fight in Congress will hopefully be epic, the fight on the streets of D.C. will be heated as well. Donald Trump has invited patriots to march in Washington in support of the fight for election integrity. It should be anticipated that January 6th in D.C. will be wild. It has been reported that D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser is working to suppress turnout and to punish attendees. Several hotels have announced closure on the 4th, 5th, and 6th in an effort to limit accommodation. It is also being reported that porta potties are being withheld. Antifa and BLM have threatened attendees. These threats should be taken seriously, and attendees should be prepared to defend themselves. There are countless op-eds and comments of how conservatives will fight tyranny when pushed too far. How much further will we tolerate our long-term abuse? Antifa and BLM are made up of pajama boy he-she miscreants, but they have one advantage against the right. They riot in packs. When they decide to attack, they do so in groups, usually against easy targets like women and older men, young persons, and etc. They count on us wanting to work things out without resorting to violence. Our people need to recognize this truth. An attack on any one of us is an attack on all of us. We will either stand together or surely be beat individually. How many of our wives, sons, daughters, grandfathers need to be attacked and beaten for us to stand our ground? Do you think these attacks will stop if the left secures power? They're already making lists. And you and every one of us are already on it. The National Guard were not paralyzed, and since Democrat mayors and governors refused their involvement, President Trump was unable to deploy the Guard units this past summer in Portland, Seattle, and elsewhere. But D.C. National Guard units report directly to the President. Therefore, Donald Trump should call the National Guard to defend march attendees. Any and every act of violence perpetrated against peaceful protesters should be punished promptly and severely. If authorities aren't prepared to protect our right to protest, then who will? And that is all I have on this second round. Back to you, KAJOY. This is KE0VRT.
Interesting statement that you said, that the people are to be prepared to defend themselves. And I didn't understand, are they going to put in porta-potties, or are they going to not put in porta-potties? Over.
Oh, okay, I forgot to mention that. They're going to try to not put porta-potties out there, so if anybody's going to D.C., make sure to take a tent with you, take some food with you, because they're trying to close down some restaurants over there, too, around that time frame. And take you a 5-gallon bucket with a trash can liner from porta-potty. Anyway, that's all I have on that.
All righty, I thought that'd be good information for Frank and Jesse. Maybe they can share a shitter. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Let me go to James. Whiskey Bravo 9, Romeo Whiskey Yankee. This is KAAJOY.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. This is WB9RWY. And a lot of good comments again. I just want to tell everybody else who's listening, not just the Mets, but certainly listeners, I'm practicing my freedom of speech, and it's just one of the First Amendments. There's also the right to address your grievances with the government. And this is what we've been trying to do with all the fraudulent votes and the shenanigans and the corruption. We want this to be investigated, but none of the courts have really picked this up. So our rights are being ignored in this case. On Wednesday, they will have to get louder, I guess. But this is our right. We have the right to address the government about our grievances. On the issue of the grading of students, that, you know, I don't think they want to do that. So we were considering it because one of the benefits of getting bad grades is that you realize more about yourself, and perhaps you're not cut out to be a scholar, or perhaps you do want to do that, and you know you're not intended to be good enough. You have to work harder. We're not all the same. We're all equal. And if you really, really want to be good at some subject, you might have to work harder than anything, even if you're not cut out for it. That's what you learn by having bad grades. You need to know that. And it's called being intellectually honest to get an honest and straightforward report, because it's part of growing up and part of learning about yourself. And if you do improve, well, great, you are. That's called success. President Trump, yes, he was threatened by the president of Iran. That's not uncommon. President Trump has had up to 25 death threats already. Attempts on his life that we never heard about. Of course, that does not count for all of the Hollywood celebrities who are constantly asking for the most diabolical dispatch of President Trump. That would not be tolerated otherwise. Okay, so that's about it I did want to mention one more thing, and that's the military base is being changed. This is the writers. They keep throwing in all these stupid writers in the bill just so that either you have to veto it or they get something free for nothing because they know you can't read it. This is really another form of corruption. They have got to keep these bills clean, and throwing in these writers is just making everything more chaotic. Fort Benning, my son went to Fort Benning. What are they going to change it to? Fort Benning is not just a place with a name of a Confederate leader. It's got, there's been a long history of soldiers who went there. They're proud of it from all over the country, and they're taking that away from them too. So it's not just about trying to somehow straighten out some perceived racist insurrection in the South. The fact that they were allowed to keep all these stuff, I think that's preserving a part of our history. We need to preserve that. And when you go to see these things, you would have another frame of reference, and you often learn about different cultures, and you really, really learn to respect other people's values and ideas. You go anywhere, and they have statues of people you never heard of. That's why they're there, so that you will learn about them. So why do they want to erase all of our heritage? Of course, everybody knows why, because they want to rewrite, they want to make a new country with their own heroes, and they probably will have unpronounceable names, by the way. All right, that's all for now. WB9RWY.
All righty, James, thank you. Yes, try to rewrite history. That is, and I'll say this and go back to Russell. In Columbus, Ohio, they took down Christopher Columbus's statue and put it in some warehouse, and God only knows it'll probably be destroyed. So it's happening in other places. All righty, well, thank you, WB9RWY. I'm going to step over to Nebraska and say hi to Mr. Moe. KD0RSA, Mr. Moe, KAHJOY.
KD0RSA, thank you, JOY, Bob up there in Ohio. I do appreciate coming back Anyway, you're talking about removing statues. I think they ought to paint Martin Luther King's statue white and put a blonde wig on him. And maybe they'd tear it down. KD0SA, back to that, over.
Well, Martin Luther King, I think, would be spinning in his grave, but he was a womanizer and he chased after white women, so maybe that's what we should do. Good thought, Mo. KD0RSA, KHLY. We're back to Mr. Jesse, KG4ZX in a C, KAHJLY, before I release the transmitter. Mr. Jesse made a comment, and I agree with him. I do miss hearing KE8INE's, Mr. Jim's call letter here, so just our thoughts go out to him, too. So, Mr. Jesse, it's yours. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Bob, and everyone on the net, and good evening, Mr. Moe. Good to hear you, sir. KE0RSA, always a pleasure. And I'd like to thank each and every one of you guys that's checked in tonight, and without you guys being there and supporting this net, and everybody standing up for this country and our First Amendment rights. Yeah, we all got to understand one thing out here, that we're not only fighting, we're not fighting for a presidency. We're not fighting for political gain. We're fighting for our country. That's what we're fighting for. And I tell you, everybody out here that's standing up and voicing their opinion, it makes me proud to know that we still have a voice here in this country, and we must not let this country fall. That's why I encourage everybody to get out on Wednesday and make it to D.C. if possible. And yeah, you're right. Everybody needs to be prepared, even with the lack of porta-johns being up there. Well, we're leaving out about 4:30 in the a.m., and we'll be there all this week. Hope to hear you guys Wednesday night on the SDR receiver, because that's the only way I'm going to be monitoring it. I guess somebody will have to fill in for me for the Wednesday night limiting that, guys. But anyway, Bob, thank you for running the net tonight. It's great to hear you guys, and I want to say God bless each and every one on the net, and God bless America. This is KG4ZX in the C, Jesse here out of the state of Pennsylvania. And this is the Saturday Night Liberty Net, guys. Great signals all the way around. And thanks, Bob. Back to net control, KG4ZX.
All righty, Jesse. Thank you, KG4ZX in the C. Godspeed when you make that trip. Mr. Russ. How about the Mr. Russell in the great state of Georgia? And as I said, they've taken down a statue in Ohio, and I really like Georgia. Not just because you live there. I've been to Savannah, and I want to go back. I really enjoyed Savannah. KK4WX, KA8JOY. Mr. Russell, KK4WX, KAHJLY. You still with us? All righty. Well, I don't hear you, Russell. I'll come back to you on the 73 round. How about Mr. Frank, W2GIO, KAHJLY? Mr. Frank in Cisco, Whiskey 2, Golf, Ida, Oscar, KAHJOY. Nothing heard. I'll go back to Danny in Marietta, Georgia. I hope you're still with us, Danny. Kilo Echo 4. Nothing heard. How about Whiskey Delta 8, Alpha Yankee Charlie in Paris, Ohio?
Okay, I was just, he caught me by surprise. Yeah, I don't have anything to add. Oh man, I'll tell you, it's a sad thing. A lot of times, I just
I look at stuff on the internet, you know, I read a lot or watch a lot of the things that are on YouTube, and I just get sick to my stomach, you know, so I don't know. And now I'm not surprised when they said that there were going to be no porta potties. I'm not surprised. Everybody is doing everything they can to make it terrible for anybody that does this. It's for everybody that doesn't hate the president. It's not the people that like the president. They make it harder than anything for anyone who doesn't hate him. And boy, I watched a couple videos this tonight, and it was the senators were doing they were looking at different things, and one of them was the fraud for the election. They were looking into that, and even they were saying stuff, but they would not come out really. I don't think they, it didn't sound to me like they were coming out and saying, well, yeah, we, no, they were saying they had fraud. I don't know. But it's no matter what anybody says, like no matter what anybody says, when anybody comes up with, if you watch the damn television, you got nothing but propaganda. Anyway, I got to get off here. WDADYC.
All righty, Richard. Well, thank you. Stick around for the 73 round. And last on my list is Mr. David in Illinois, KB9KBC. This is KAJOY.
How are you copying, sir?
You're really down there in the noise, but I can pull you out. Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to say, President Trump, I mean, the FBI people, CIA, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, I'm a Democrat, lots of them. We're being pulled about by a bunch of fucking pockets of friends. And Trump is our only hope. The whole thing is to be freaking on. If Trump goes, I think that the Titanic has to sink, so I'm not sure, you know, I'm so thankful.
Did you finish, Mr. David?
Yes, I did. Did you copy it all? Did you copy it all?
I do copy you that you asked me if I copy, but I did not hear what you said, but others might have.
Yeah, I copied him.
All righty, why don't you go directly to him, Mr. Jesse?
Okay,
KB9KBC.
Okay, KB9KB3KBC, you copy KG4ZXC, relay?
I'm not
even fine. Okay, roger, roger. Yeah, I just wanted to see if there's anything else you wanted to reiterate on.
It's unbelievable. Copy that?
Hey, roger, roger. Well, thank you for your comment there. Let's see, Mr. David, and thank you for that. Yeah, I think we need to have, people understand that
This president is our last stand to stand behind somebody that's going to do the right thing. Hey, thank you for your comment, sir, and I'm going to pass it back in net control. So, Kilo Bravo 9, KC, Kilo Bravo Charlie. Sorry about that, Mr. David. You have a great night. Thank you, sir. If you want to stick around for the 73 round.
Thank you, sir.
All right, roger, roger. All right, back to you, Bob. K8JOY.
Thank you, Jess. I appreciate it. All righty. Let me see if I have any late check-ins. Let me move my papers over here. Do I have anybody else there that'd like to throw out their call? This is KHOI. Nothing heard, so I'm going to throw out a quick article from The Blaze. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's house was vandalized with leftist messages demanding universal basic income and the cancellation of rent. So, again, people think everything should be free. That's not how capitalism works. So, there was blood spilled on her property, there was graffiti, and a severed pig's head was placed on the driveway. The white garage door was spray painted with graffiti that read, "Cancel rent, UBI, I don't know what that means, and we want everything." There was a message of 2K with a line through the middle, a reference to the lawmakers' failed attempts to increase the COVID-19 stimulus checks from $600 to $2,000. There was also the letter A inside a circle, which is a symbol of anarchist. The San Francisco police responded to the reported vandalism around 2 a.m. on New Year's Day, according to Fox News. Unidentified suspects have painted graffiti on the garage door and left a pig's head on the sidewalk. On Friday afternoon, the black garbage bags were covering up the graffiti on the garage. I got to quick flip the page because it's not cooperating. The home, which was estimated to have a value of $5.5 million. Nancy Pelosi lives in a $5.5 million. Why don't she give some stuff to those people, like pay their rent? Is situated in the city's affluent Pacific Heights. It's not known if Pelosi was home at the time of the defacement. There's a lot of unsolved issues that we have to deal with, Pelosi said. So these people want free rent. They want everything. That's not possible. That's what this leftist agenda is teaching these people. Everything is at your disposal. Somebody has to pay for it. I'm preaching to the choir when I say that to you people, but that's the kind of attitude these idiots have. It's just amazing. I want to say one little quick thing. I think maybe Bill and Larry might know. Do you guys remember Nancy H. Charlie Sierra, NHCS? One of the guys I had lunch with today told me he used to be on the LibertyNet years ago, and he is part... He's in some island out near Asia, and he's with the Voice of America. I just thought I'd throw that out for the fun of it. With that being said, the 73 round, Mr. Larry, N4ROQ. What do you have to sum up your night? This is KAJOY. Mr. Larry, N4ROQ, KAJOY. All righty. Well, how about Mr. Bill? KO4FE, KAAJOY.
Okay, KAAJOY, Liberty Net from KO4FE. Okay, well, Larry must have gotten away from the radio. Yeah, those leftists, they want their hot for that UBI is what they call universal basic income. They're wanting the government to give them $2,000 a month, no strings attached. That's their idea of how to live. Just everybody gets $2,000 a month. And so anyway, that's what that was about. Anyway, here's an article. Now, well, let me get into this, and then I'll put some comments in. It says, young adult author is canceled and dropped by her agent for calling calling an anti-racist educator an idiot for suggesting schools should stop teaching the Scarlet Letter. And that was a famous novel by Nathaniel Hawthorne, considered a classic. Anyway, the anti-racist educator is black, and the woman, the author, is white. I got pictures of them here. But anyway, the article says a young adult author has been canceled after she defended the writers of The Scarlet Letter and other classic novels on Twitter. The incident occurred when anti-racist and anti-bias educator, and when you hear anti-racist, that just means anti-white, educator Lorena Germain wrote a tweet on November 30th advocating for more diversity among books that are taught in schools. Diversity is just a code word for get rid of white people. In response, Jessica Clues, that's the white woman who wrote the Kingdom of Fire series, called Germain an idiot and said authors such as Nathaniel Hawthorne wrote books criticizing the very societies in which their novels took place. This led Clues' agent dropping her after what he described as condescending and personal attacks by the former client, Clues. Germain is perhaps best known for being one of the founders of the Disrupt Text hashtag and website. The movement is meant to center more voices of color in literature and apply a critical lens to many texts written by white authors. Yeah, to get rid of them. She said, do y'all know that many of the classics were written before the 50s? Well, now I know why she was called an idiot. Germain wrote on Twitter on November 30th. Think of U.S. society before then and the values that shaped the nation afterwards. That is what's in those books, and that's why we got to switch it up. It ain't just about being old. The tweet received nearly 900 likes and more than 140 retweets. However, it was not well received by Clues, who in a series of now-deleted tweets defended many classic authors. She referenced Nathaniel Hawthorne, who wrote The Scarlet Letter, about Hester Prynne, a woman in Puritan Massachusetts Bay Colony who conceives a daughter after having an affair and is made to wear a red letter A on her chest. Clues said Hawthorne was not criticizing Hester for her sin, but the Puritan society for their judgment of her. She said, if you think Hawthorne was on the side of the judgmental Puritans in The Scarlet Letter, then you are an absolute idiot and should not have the title of educator in your bio, she wrote. If you think Upton Sinclair was on the side of the meatpacking industry, then you are a fool and should sit down and feel bad about yourself. This is in reference to Sinclair's novel, The Jungle, which portrayed the poor working conditions of immigrants in the U.S. Clueless continued, ah yes, remember their eyes were watching God and other literature of the extraordinary Harlem Renaissance? I guess not. This anti-intellectual, anti-curiosity bullshit is poison, and I will stand here and scream that it is sheer goddamn evil until my hair falls out. I do not care. Well, if it would all would have ended there, I would have given this woman a lot of credit for standing up for her heritage. But it wasn't to be so. It was not long before Germain saw the tweets and responded to him. She said, what's interesting to me is how I present a position on an academic point, and yet this 55%er, I don't know what she means by that, decides to attack me personally over and over again. Sounds like I struck a Confederate nerve, she wrote. Many people on Twitter soon began calling Clueless a racist and asking that her publisher, Random House Kids, drop her. I don't know what was, there was nothing racist about what she said. The backlash led Clueless to delete her tweets just one day later and issue an apology. There's what, that was her mistake. And you'll see what it got her. She said, I take full responsibility for my unproven anger against Lorena Germain and the impact of my words on her and all who read them. It read in part. I want to acknowledge the pain I caused and to apologize sincerely for if my words were misguided, wrong, and deeply hurtful. That is absolute bullshit, bull crap. They were actually correct. Just 2 days later, on December 3rd, her agent, Brooke Sherman, distanced himself from Clueless and dropped her as a client. So the apology got her nothing. She should have just said, yeah, I should have just doubled down, as they say. And he said, I told myself... He said, I hold myself to certain personal and professional standards for the values I support. I no longer represent Jessica Clueless. Her tweets against Lauren Germain earlier this week were racist and unacceptable. There was absolutely nothing racist about what she said. She called out a college professor for being an idiot, saying we should get rid of... classic literature, and that especially white literature. How is that? Yeah, she was racist because Lauren Germain wants to get rid of white authors just because they're white. So anyway, this is the kind of crap that more and more is going to happen, and I would have saluted this woman. What was her name? I want to get it right. This Clueless woman. But she backed down. She backed down. And so I don't know what to say. You know, Jessica Clueless should have stood her ground because she was right. And when you back down like this, this just makes the enemy even bolder next time. So anyway, 73s to everybody on the net. Thanks for running the net, Bob. Did an excellent job as usual. And we'll see you guys all on Wednesday night. So anyway, KAAJOY, Liberty Net from KO4FE. See you later.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for joining us. And it's always a pleasure to hear your comments. And you're right. When they back down and apologize, they still get a big rubber penis rammed in their butt. There's no sense in apologizing. You're still going to get scorned. So I agree with you. KO4FE, KHOI, next to Mr. Bill and Joplin. KE0VRT, KAHJOY.
Okay, this is KE0VRT with Liberty Net and coming out of Joplin, Missouri. My last article for this evening is again out of the American Thinker, Gaslighting and COVID. Joe Biden declares scale-down inauguration. Joe Biden has called for a scale-down inauguration, supposedly in the name of containing COVID. According to Al Jazeera, which seems to be the only one doing straight reporting on this, says, I think you're going to see something that's closer to what the Democratic National Convention was like than a typical inauguration. Biden said earlier this month, suggesting that the festivities will be mostly virtual, as was in the case for the Democratic National Convention in August. First and foremost, in my objective, is to keep America safe, but still allow people to celebrate. To celebrate and see one another celebrate, Biden added. This week, workers dismantled the reviewing stand. The location in front of the White House where the newly sworn-in U.S. President and Vice President and their families taking the inauguration parade. This is a note of gaslighting and hooey. Ridge State's Nick Armada has lead and summary I could not possibly improve on. He says, let's just say it's hard to believe that somehow Joe Biden, who is never to get any real numbers out for any rally, and barely squeaked in to the primary, could have not only gotten more votes than Barack Obama and Donald Trump, but the most in history, for a barely coherent and aspiring stand-in candidate. The reason Biden is scaling down to his event is that he knows that very few people would even show up, and boy, that's the truth. It calls to mind the howling from the press over the size of President Trump's inaugural, claiming that it was small, while photos showed that it was pretty big. They used that argument to compare Trump unfavorably to President Obama, and now the shoe's on the other tootsie. Obviously, Joe Biden knows he couldn't in a million years win in any such crowd contest, even if COVID were gone and the weather were 78 degrees. When you're taking office by fraud, the crowds aren't there to be had. Two things stand out from this. One was Biden's condemnation of the Blue City celebrations of his electoral victory last November 3rd. Remember how Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot celebrated in the streets, claiming that containing surging COVID wasn't as important as celebrating Friday Joe. Yes, there are times when we actually do need to have relief and come together, and I felt like this was one of those times. That crowd was gathered whether I was there or not, but this had been a super hard year for everyone. Everyone feels traumatized, said Lori Lightfoot. Somehow, Joe didn't have much concern for COVID either. No calls to stay inside and celebrate on Zoom, no blast in crowd and responsibility. But now that inevitable comparison to Trump's inaugural are sure to come out. Joe retreats behind the mask of COVID, adding a victim memorial segment as a means of blaming President Trump. And speaking of Trump, here's the other reason he's hollering out about staying home. President Trump's supporters are planning massive Stop the Steal demonstrations, at least one on January 6th, and another likely on January 20th. Hotels are booking up and people are making socially distanced travel plans. The empty inaugural, accompanied by likely massive protests at the stolen election, stolen from the very people likely to be out in the streets calling for the real winner of the election, President Trump, to be inaugurated, present a significant threat to Joe Biden's prestige and legitimacy. Because if a crowd of very large size shows up and endorses the Biden inaugural, let's face it, it will be clearer than ever that something is wrong with even the existence of a Biden inaugural. A fraudulently elected president is a new one for America. It's mainly seen in places like Venezuela and Nicaragua. Biden coming in and declaring himself president while cheering crowds stay away is a hell of a cold opening. This is why Biden is using COVID. COVID is the best friend a fraudulently elected president could ever have. It cuts his need to campaign while the fix is in. It allows him to appear at tiny venues such as junior high schools, if not stay in his basement. It facilitates his walking away from reporter questions and enables him to claim he was legitimately elected. We all know he's there by fraud. That's his biggest reason for wanting no Trump with any claim to crowds, either his own shriveled numbers or else President Trump's expanding ones. And you know what? He could use that COVID all he wants. You know, he may not draw a crowd because of COVID, but you can go on Twitter and see that he can't attract that many people. You know, that's all there is to that. And last thing I want to close with is something I kind of wrote. You know, and it really rings true, and I'll go on to read it. It's kind of creepy to think that if there's a civil war, the other side has us over a barrel when it comes to intelligence info. They have big tech on their side that knows everything about us, has satellite surveillance, and even has photos of everyone's homes, everyone's, you know, Google Maps. But that don't mean defeat. The patriots of the 1770s faced a similar situation. Yet those handful of patriots mopped the floor with the greatest empire the world had ever known. We can do it again in the digital age. 73's everybody, and have a happy new year. This is KE0VRT.
Thank you, William. Appreciate you joining us tonight, and 73's to you, and happy new year also. Let's hope that 2021 is very good. It's a little shaky at the moment, but we're hoping. KE0VRT, KHOY. Next is James in Iron River, Wisconsin. Whiskey Bravo 9, Romeo Whiskey Yankee.
Thanks, Bob. This is WB9RWY. I agree with William that we have to keep our campus up, and I want to remind everybody that much of what you're seeing in the news, in the media of every sort, is propaganda. If you know the truth and then you watch the TV or listen to the radio reports, even the short reports that are at the top of the hour, they will always twist the story for the propaganda. I didn't know about this until many years ago, but listening to even talk radio shows on public radio, they would often teach the audience what they should be thinking in very subtle ways, even if they had to allow a caller to make the points, and then they can beg off and say, "We never said that, the caller said that." And so once you start looking for it, you will realize they're doing it on everything. TV shows, movies, every place you can think of. And even subtle little cuts, even on innocuous TV shows, sitcoms, they'll have a comment somebody will make just to reinforce the idea. It's just disgusting the way they use propaganda on us. But I was wondering about the universal basic income. I know these hippies want to get by without having to work for a living, and they can easily get by on the money because they're used to minimal living, and they don't want to work hard to really provide for themselves or even to have any responsibility. But I wondered if we did have a system like that, would there be taxes taken out of that UBI check? Would there be Social Security deductions as well? And when they finally decided to get old and collect Social Security, would they even be eligible? And what is retired anyways when you're basically a hobo and you get government checks for your whole life? I don't quite understand how they think this is supposed to work, but I have met a few people who just simply do not want to work, no matter what, and they will live in the most impoverished conditions as long as they don't have to. And that's fine if they don't complain about it. But these guys are professional bums. They're not disabled. They're not infirm. They don't deserve to live for nothing from the rest of us. So that's what I was thinking about the UBI. Okay, that's really all for now. 73 to the net. And back to you, Bob, KAHJOY from WB9RWY.
Well, that's interesting, WB9RWY. They don't want to do anything. I have a small, it was like an email somebody sent to me. There's five men pulling a cart. And as they're pulling the cart, one of them stumbles and hurts his ankle. So he gets in the cart, and the other four men willingly pull the cart with him in it. But as they go along, one of the other men thinks, well, this is terrible. I'm working hard, and that guy's back there in the cart going for the ride. So he says, I'm hurt. So he gets in the cart. Now there's two in the cart, and three are happily pulling the cart. Time goes on, and one of those three are like, well, I'm really tired. So he pretends he hurts himself and gets in the cart. Now there's three in the cart, and two are pulling. Well, it's much harder now. Only two are pulling a cart and three are riding. So they stop and the other two get in the cart, and of course the cart goes nowhere. That's what'll happen to America, over.
Exactly. It's obvious. It's very obvious that these people think they're entitled to a basic universal income. But they haven't done anything. In a free society, you have to earn your own way. And except, you know, I'm just saying, if you're infirm, if you really got a problem, we can take care of you. But, you know, people with injuries, people with, you know, some other kind of a birth defect, but everybody should at least make an effort to pull their weight. But these guys don't want it. They don't want to participate, and they don't want the responsibility.
because that's being grown up. Over.
That's true. Well, thank you. Thank you, James, for chiming in tonight. Really appreciate you being here. So I'm going to sign with you, WB9RWY, and I'm going to run over to Mr. Moe in the great state of Nebraska. Mr. Moe, KD0RSA, do you have anything for closing tonight? Over.
KD0RSA, Moe up here in Nebraska. Well, there's a tuner up here in there. Maybe he'll have some news. Anyway, I don't have anything else to add except I'm sitting here waiting for January 6th to see what happens. A lot depends on that one day, I believe, if I understand right, which maybe I don't, but I think I do. And if it comes down to losing your freedom, you might as well start fighting with some lead, because they'll end up putting you in prison and starving you to death anyway. So you might as well die fighting as to be in jail starving to death. That's my opinion. KD0RSA, 73, Bob, over.
And I like your opinion. Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you with us, Mo, and your signal is really good still here in Ohio. KD0RSA, KHAY, over to Pennsylvania, the other end of the state, the great Commonwealth. KG4ZX&C, KAHAOY.
Okay, thank you, Bob, and good evening once again on the Saturday night, Sunday morning Liberty Net, and coming from the great fraudulent state of Pennsylvania, here it is, KG4ZX&C. Well, you know, I really don't have a lot more I could really add tonight, because everybody knows how fraudulent everything has been and how corrupt our system is and how our news media has betrayed us. And if you haven't lost Facebook and Twitter yet, you should, because you're going to not get any results or any type of information from a news media outlet like those guys. If you look, there's nothing but corruption and bull crap comments on everything the president tweets, or it's disputed, I should say. Well, anyway, you know, it's good to hear everybody in there, and we all just remember to make our prayers be heard. And pray for this country, pray for this president, and pray that Mike Pence does the right thing, because right now I'm skeptical even on that part. But I will say this, and we all keep that in mind. January 6th will be the day of reckoning, when we should know a little bit more of what's going on. And if my prediction's right, we may come out of this. But I'm not losing hope yet. I'm staying positive. Stay vigilant, guys, and like Mr. Moe said, keep your powder dry and hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. Godspeed with each and every one. I'll be here on the Saturday Night Liberty Net. Thank you, guys, and thanks Mr. Marty and Miss Laura, and hope you guys recover well. Hope to hear you guys soon once again. And Mr. Vic, if you're out there listening, and to everybody else on the frequency. This is KG4ZXC. Great net tonight, Bob. And Mr. Bill, before, if you're still in there, KO4FE, you still on the frequency? Okay, Mr. Bill must have took off. I'll give him a landline, Bob. So back over to you, and God bless America, guys. And thank you guys for being here on the Liberty Net. KG4ZXC, back to Bob, KO4FE. I mean,
careful on the six. Yes,
KOY, sorry, Bob.
All right, Jesse, I will keep my phone on Wednesday night. I don't know what I can do for you, but if there's a need, I'll have a full tank of gas and I'll go from there. So KG4ZX&C if you need a lifeline, KAJOY. Let me go down to Mr. Russell. KK4WX, I missed you on round number two. Are you here for the 73 round? Over. Nothing heard. Let me go to Mr. Frank in New York. Whiskey 2, Golf, Ida, Oscar, W2GIO, KHAY. Are you here for the 73 round? Nothing heard. Let me check with Danny. I'm going to lift Danny up in my prayers from Marietta, Georgia. Daniel, Kilo, Echo, 4, Lima, Foxtrot, Romeo, are you still with us for the 73 round? Nothing heard. Let me go to Richard in Paris, Ohio. Whiskey David, excuse me, Whiskey Delta 8, Alpha Yankee Charlie. Are you with me, Richard? Over.
Yeah, I am. I guess it's a good thing to make up the difference. You know, I probably should. I have one thing I've been thinking about for months, and I don't hear anybody talking about how this has happened. But maybe we could look up stuff for next Wednesday or something. But we all got ham license, you know? If you didn't have a ham license, you wouldn't be on here. So we all had to take tests, and they had to, it was filled from the FCC. And part of that was the FCC rule. And now, I got my license since 1976. Don't I remember hearing, like, you know, because people would talk about the FCC, not just the hams, but stuff. I'm almost positive that back in the 60s, the FCC would not let any kind of news outlet just grab hold of one group of people and let them slam the president or anybody. I don't think they were allowed. I think there was rules. And you know, the FCC, they can put you in prison. They can $10,000 fines and put you in prison. And now, I know the stuff that these television and radio stations, I know the stuff they've been doing for 4 years without any problem at all. And not just that, there is the news that comes the other way. They just won't let it on there. You know, it's bad. Now, how in the world is the FCC letting that go and not taking these people off the air? I hope somebody, these guys can really dig deep and stuff. I'd love to know that. I never hear anybody talking about it. And my own cousin, I talked to her, my own cousin, and she hates Trump and this and that. I go, Pat, I says, just tell me one thing. I mean, why do you hate him so bad? You know, what's he ever done? And she says, well, wherever he goes, he puts his hand up girls, up women's dresses. And I said, oh my God, Pat, where in the hell do you... Yeah, that's what's his name done. But that's it. She's been listening to TV. That's all she does. And she's got lupus. She's in really bad shape, and she watches TV all the time. And all the, even the friends of mine that were saying that they were for Trump and stuff, but I know this one guy, he don't go on the internet and look at this guy and that guy. He just goes on TV and listens to news. And even he's starting to say those same things that you hear on the news. You know, it sounds like he's not went over to the other side, but when he just talks, it sounds like it. And that's because their brain, if it wasn't for the brainwashing of the TV, there'd be a lot more than 80,000 or 800,000 votes for Trump. There'd be another probably 40,000, I don't know. So I just wonder, that's something I would like to hear somebody really dig into, because I'm terrible at that stuff, but I know back in the 80s and even 70s, you couldn't say the stuff that people there say. If you had said some of the stuff that they said about the president, you'd probably have the FBI on your ass.
And the same, you know, thing, you weren't allowed to just promote one on TV because, they knew how powerful that was, and that they had made those rules. I'm sure they had rules. Anyway, that's it for me. WD8AYC. Good night. God bless.
Well, I'll say one thing about that, WD8AYC. Everybody likes to whine about President Trump talked about grabbing a woman's vagina. Well, I got to tell you, in my years, if you were gentle, women really liked you to play with their vaginas. But he was a private citizen. So libtards love to say that. So my comment back to them is, what about Joe Biden as a senator when he fingered Tara Reid and it was a sexual assault? And liberals go, oh, no, that's a lie. So the thing about Trump's true, but the thing about Biden's a lie. You're right. Our media is screwed up, and you don't remember seeing anybody talk bad about good old Obama, because that would have been horrible to say something about the black president that was half white. Thank you, Richard. I appreciate it. I'm hearing you're pretty good here in Richfield, Ohio, from Paris, Ohio. All right, at the bottom of my list, but doesn't mean you're the least, Mr. David in Illinois, KB9, KBC, KAH, JOY.
Yes, thanks for joining us for the session. Thanks for joining you guys. Good night, God bless America. So, hope you copy that. Good night, God bless America.
I did copy that. Good night to you. God bless America also. I appreciate you joining us. Thank you. I'm going to jump up and see if Larry is back before I close the door. N4ROQ, are you with us for the 73 round? This is KAJOY.
Yeah, sure am there. Thank you, Bob. Due to the lateness of the net there, I just want to say I really did enjoy the net. Thanks for running it, and pray for our country, and I wish I could go to the rally there and everything there on the 6th, but for everyone that remember the net there on the that's coming up next, it's of course on Saturday and Wednesday night at 10 p.m. So you guys, I really enjoyed it, and thanks Bob again. KAJYN4ROQ, Larry in Tennessee. You take care.
All righty, Larry. Thanks for joining us at the end of the 73 round. With that being said, I'm going to close the window on this night's Liberty Net. I want to wish Mrs. Calabash a good night, wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, including the United States Navy sailors and soldiers that are possibly listening out at sea. And 73 to tonight's netters, such as Mr. Victor, W1WCR, Mr. Marty, who is recovering nicely, N2IRJ, Miss Laura, the cutie, N2JTTF, that little rotten cat that they have that I babysat, because they aren't transmitting, but they're with us. It is my prayer for God to bless this great country, to bless our president, to be with Mr. Jesse and Mr. Frank as they travel, and Jesse, as I said, if you need to ring my phone, you've got my number. So with that being said, 73s, good night, and God bless.